What you missed on Midday with Howie Lim on Money FM 89.3.
This is Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3, a segment that looks at the SME sector here in Singapore. After all, 99% of businesses here in Singapore are SMEs. Also check out sgsme.sg. Our colleagues at the Business Times cover this sector in great detail as well, and that's their website. Today, future-proofing children in Singapore and Southeast Asia with forward-thinking skills and edtech. How is SmarterMe aiming to do this? We speak with co-founders Lim Yi Ling and Liao Yit Ming. Thanks so much for joining us today, guys.
Thank you.
Give me the impetus for SmarterMe first up.
So really, you know, we look at the current education system, right? And it's great. It gives a really good foundation. But the world has changed so much. We live in a world that's really tech-driven, tech-enabled, right? We have Google Home at home. And kids still aren't sufficiently learning about coding, about robotics, about all these hard skills, but also all these soft skills. And so we thought, you know, we need to come up with a system, right? Or a course. And that's really how SmarterMe was formed.
Really, I feel as though kids, I mean, they're born into the digital age. They're digital natives is the phrase, right? I saw a kid the other day, must have been less than 2 or not more than 3 years old, poking at a magazine, a physical magazine, expecting pictures to move or something. And I thought, this is the way of the world now.
Yeah, it is actually. So the key difference there is really, are you an adopter or are you a creator? So I think one of the key differences that SmarterMe try to achieve is really help these kids to try to be creators themselves.
So you've launched this new online mastery courses in coding, robotics, entrepreneurship and design thinking, as Yi Ling said earlier, or CRED, designed for kids 9 to 17. So young?
Yeah, we've actually, in the past year as well, we've actually conducted camps before where we started teaching coding and robotics to kids as young as 5-year-olds. And really, you know, the program that we use is something that is very fun, very logic-based, very block-based, and they actually enjoy it. So like you mentioned, you know, kids have grown up with iPads, with technology. And the main thing is that they are actually able to learn through technology. If you think about it, if you have any kids at home who've made slime before, right, they all learn how to make that from YouTube. And that's a big problem in the US now because kids are making slime and selling them all by learning through YouTube. Similarly, you talk about things like Minecraft, like making websites through Wix. So we have two daughters and our girls have basically gone through that. Our 9-year-old actually learned how to make a website using Wix.
That is some advancement. I remember when I was, okay, I want to go back to how you said to kids as young as 5. When I was 5 years old, I could barely tell my mom I wanted a peanut butter sandwich. Did you have to scale down, though, the language in order to teach kids hard things like coding and robotics?
I think the main thing is that really programming languages have also changed a lot in the past decade, right? What we used to think of as programming language, really HTML, C++, those are things that as an adult you learn. But for kids, you know, what's great is this MIT professor. He's actually created a language called Scratch, which again is block-based, it's colourful, it's drag and drop. And what kids learn is really using logic. How do I create loops? How do I create a sequence, move left, go straight, turn back? And it's really drag and drop, but it trains their logical thinking.
But without the language skill required, they can't read instructions per se, for example.
Right. I think what's important, if you're talking about coding, right, is that, and what we really believe in, is really how do kids learn and make it relevant to the real world? Because if we just force it onto them, right, they end up not liking the subject. Similar to why, you know, a lot of kids don't like Chinese or a lot of kids don't like maths or science, right? It's really being able to inspire them to see what could they potentially create with this skill that they found. And that's why we start out with, you know, a language that's block-based, that's fun. And as they progress, as they actually develop the interest already, right, they can then move on to more complicated, more sophisticated programming languages.
Talk about the operating and business models of SmarterMe. How are you guys making money? How's the response been to your courses?
We run SmarterMe online, live online, so that's really our business model. The reason why we decided to do it online classes is really one thing, accessibility, right? We look at Singapore and there are already a lot of coding schools. You know, coding school to student ratio is pretty high. But even so, a lot of them are located in a central location. So what about families who are living, you know, on the outskirts of Singapore?
And kids can't drive themselves.
That's right. That's
to
right.
The location.
And so we have parents having to send their kids to yet another class, right?
Yeah.
And then if you look beyond Singapore, in Malaysia and in Indonesia, that ratio is way, way, you know, higher, right? And it's really not fair if you think about it, right? And what we really want to do is that in the future, what we want is to be able to narrow the skills gap, narrow the knowledge gap, and narrow the income gap. And that's achievable by providing access to education to these kids regionally, globally.
Much as I was surprised that you're targeting kids as young as 5, as you said earlier, but it's really 9 to 17. That's also quite a wide range. A kid who's 9 and a teenager who's 17, very different mindsets, very different, say, language skills that we talked about earlier. How are you developing the curriculum that fits these children and teenagers of different ages?
Well, so first of all, they are grouped, so they don't all learn together. They are grouped, and we do tailor the curriculum accordingly. So for example, let's talk about robotics, right? For robotics, a 9-year-old may end up learning how to design the robot, right, and making it move, making sure it works. But a 12-year-old, sorry, or a 15-year-old, right, they may actually be putting in more sensors, more programming, more logics. We will also actually train them a little bit more on the empathy side of things. And that's really where the soft skills come into play, right? So instead of just teaching them how to program, how to build a robot, we actually teach them to put it in the context of a problem, right? Now, one very, very, very cool curriculum that we have is really when they build a robot to Mars, okay, how at that situation itself, they are then thrown a problem, okay, a question. Now, if you only have enough power to actually send the robot, you know, to go and retrieve a potential cure for cancer or to actually send all the occupants in the spaceship back to Earth, right, which one would you do? Would you sacrifice a group of astronauts for a greater good or the other way around, right? So these are questions are then thrown to
What sort of
older.
Psychologically scarring question is that, Yiling? What were some of the responses that came out?
It's very interesting because there's really two school of thoughts, right? And there's really no right or wrong answer, right? Some people will actually say, well, you know, this is just a potential cure. I should save people on hand first. Another one will be saying that why shouldn't we, you know, really sacrifice a group of 5 astronauts but to be able to save millions in the future? Yeah, so what we really want to do is really train them to critically think, to debate amongst themselves and to be able to communicate their thought process very clearly.
Tell us more about these softer skills that you're aiming to develop in children.
The reason why we came up with, you know, CRED, right, is really on one hand to train the tech skills, the hard skills, because that's where the world is today and where it's going to go in the future, right? But beyond that, what's really important is the 21st century skills and the soft skills. And what we aim to actually teach our kids or equip them with the skills is, number one, to critically think, to problem solve, to communicate, to collaborate, right? But beyond all that, something that we both are very personally very passionate about is to be able to help kids, help the youth find themselves, search inside yourself. Now, you look at, you know, the older adults today
That's a big existential question that you're trying to answer here. Who am I and my purpose in the world,
that's
right?
That's right. But we do think that nowadays, there are a lot of tools available to actually help you discover yourself. I mean, passion is a big word, right? But there are ways to help yourself discover that. Number one is, you know, what am I good at, right? Identifying your strengths. And that really helps you understand yourself better. So identify your strengths, identify what you like to do, what your interests are. And that's what we seek to help kids and youth today do. Because if we don't, we're going to end up with yet another pool of, you know, 20, 30-year-olds who are job hopping because they want to find out what's their why.
But it's also the trend these days. There is a measure of experimentation, a fearlessness amongst the young, where it's not like Generation X, where I'm speaking from, where it's this is the job and it's decades I stay there and it's the iron rice bowl that I covet. The younger prefer a more diverse experience. That's just the way of the world, though. Trying to change that might be very challenging.
Yeah, right. I think the youth right now, or even the mid-20s or the early 30s, the reason why they're job hopping is really they're in a search mode, right? Finding what drives them, why they do what they do, and etc. So I think a lot of these answers or the tools to help them find these answers can be taught at an earlier age, right? To really understand what drives certain emotions, what drives my own happiness, right? And that will help answer a lot of questions and guide them along the way as to which path they should take at a much younger age.
But those things change over time.
That's right.
I remember when I did my O-levels and didn't do so great and didn't go into the school that I wanted to, the world had ended. I was face down on the bed crying for days. And my mom tried to tell me, this isn't the end of the world. There are other things. There are other schools. For an example, that's just an example. But at that point, I remember feeling it was, that's it for me. And those things you can't learn until after sort of hindsight when I look back. Oh, my mom was right.
Yeah. But I think what we also want to teach them, right, and for them to know is really nothing is fully permanent. So it doesn't mean that, you know, at the age of 12, you decide your purpose and you have to follow it for life and you can't change. It's not that. But the moment you kind of know, understand yourself better, that can serve as a beacon, right? And you are free to change. No one sets their life goals at the age of 10 or 20 or 30 even.
Yeah, but I think the key thing there is the tools that is being taught. How do you use those tools, the process to actually find what you like, what drives you, and etc. And that same tools can be used over and over again as you evolve as a person.
These workshops, because it feels like they're so at two ends of the spectrum, we're talking about skills that you really need to focus and almost learn in a rote fashion. Robotics, there are formulas involved, etc. And then there are these softer skills that we talked about, the 21st century skills, which seem on the other end of the spectrum. A lot of thinking's involved, a lot of contemplation. How are those two things coming together within your workshops?
So our mastery courses are actually 12 week long, right? And throughout all, so let me take entrepreneurship, for example. Now, at the start of the entrepreneurship course, our coach, our life coach actually comes in and helps the students understand why are they there, you know, what do they want to get out of it, understanding more about themselves and also building a positive mindset. Then they go through the whole process of understanding how do they create a business from ideating, coming up with a solution, prototyping. And in between there, we actually, in week 5 or week 6, we actually again have the life coach come in to help them understand their emotions that they went through as they started building their business. They are working with teams, they are debating a lot, they are arguing a lot potentially, and that's where we go down and analyze their emotions. What were they feeling? How did they manage stress? And then we teach them how to accept that kind of feeling, that kind of emotions, how to deal with it, right? And then that's also when we actually weave in the strengths-finding part of it. They go through a strengths-finding test. The life coach actually teaches them how to analyze it, how to leverage on it. And so it's all weaved in. So as they go, and let's say they go through a robotics course, similarly, they will have to learn how to cope with their stress levels and how they are feeling when their robot breaks down, right? It doesn't work. It doesn't move the way that they wanted it to.
And the people who work with you have the credibility or have the experience to deal with that. Because I know children feel things that much deeper,
yes,
and with that much more intensity.
Yeah, that's right. So our teachers, right, they are our partners. They come from, you know, some of them are our MOE educators, 20 years of experience. Some of them are practitioners. So, for example, our design thinking course, right? We've merged digital design together with design thinking. And that's actually taught by the Grab's lead UX designer. He came from Silicon Valley. He had years of experience working with Pinterest, Twitter, Yahoo. So a lot of experience in design. And greatest thing is he's actually taught underprivileged kids back in Silicon Valley, helped them change their lives by knowing what they can use or who they can be with this design thinking skills. So they've all got the experience of teaching. They've all got the experience of actually working in the industry itself, knowing how it applies in the real world. And more importantly, they've all got that passion in them to want to inspire the next generation.
Okay, very difficult question for Yit Ming. Do your daughters take the courses for free?
No, they don't, unfortunately.
What happened to the privilege of knowing the co-founders and all that?
Well, we're not the only shareholders, unfortunately. Yeah.
What continues to inspire and motivate you guys, though? Because as we said, the world is changing so quickly. Sometimes it feels like it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, I think one of the key drivers and motivators is actually looking at the growth of my own daughter. I mean, she started getting exposed to coding and programming at a very young age. And this is not through me, right? This is through my observation on how she used YouTube for a start, right? And that started about age 7, 8. And I thought, wow, you know, with such great interest in wanting to design games, right? And she's like, she's a big gamer, right? And then she, at one point of time, I actually asked her, would you like to create your own game? Why do you play other people's games? And she said, yeah, I know, I'm actually learning how to use Scratch, which is the MIT program. And then she started using that through YouTube without zero guidance from me, right? I'm actually tech illiterate. So she did
relate.
That, and within like 2 days, she came to me, hey, daddy, you know, I just built a game, right? And I was like, wow, you know, you did that. And that inspired me a lot, you know, where she suddenly felt the power that she had in her hands in becoming a creator.
Yeah, right. I think that's, you know, I think one of our biggest achievement, right, personally, is when we launched the website. She saw it. She was so amazed by what we've created. She went around telling her friends in school, and she said, she ended it with this, right, is that, thanks for showing me that with imagination and in today's world, anything is possible.
You want to check that out. Smarterme.sg is where they are. SMARTERME.sg. We're speaking with the founders, Lim Yiling and Liao Yitming. Thanks so much for joining us today, guys.
Thank you, Howie.